evening. Good to see everybody. Hope everybody has been having a good week this week. And what's all that yellow stuff outside? Anybody know? I'll tell you what it is. It's a mess. That's what it is. And you can almost taste it in your mouth. Just terrible, terrible pollen. But anyway, it is that time of year and that time of season. But it is good to be here. And they say tomorrow we're going to be in the 80s, I believe, maybe close to 90. That's wild, isn't it? But it is that time of year. It's the change of seasons. But you got it right. You got it right. I'm wearing yellow so I can just blend in wherever I go. That is right. That is right. Yeah. When? Monday? Oh, wow. Yeah, no wonder so many people are sick. Is all this up and down, in and out, off and on stuff. But anyway, it is good to be here. Good to see everybody. We will start off with our prayer request. Let me just give you one right off, right here at the beginning. I talked to Miss Dolores Palmer earlier this week. I believe it was Monday, actually. And she said it was fine to mention this, but the doctor said, and she agreed that they're going to go ahead and take Leonard off all of his medicine, all that trial stuff, and it's just too hard on them to travel. I don't believe they even started making that trip yet from South Carolina to Atlanta. It's just too hard on them, and they're just going to trust the Lord with his life, Just remember them in prayer. They need our. I know you've been praying, and I know you've been sending cards and all, but they just need our prayers tonight. As you can imagine, I believe they've been married. I know it's in the 60s amount of years. I don't want to quote it. I don't know if it's 64, 65, or something around in there. A lot of number of years being married. I believe that's right. But anyway, but they've got family up there and it's helping out, and they, of course, they got some family down here. I didn't even know, Brother Seth. I'm sure you know Nancy Walden is Dolores' sister. Yeah, she's been messaging me here and there, keeping me up to date on some things, and that's how I found out about this, and so that's how I found out who Miss Nancy Walden is. But I appreciate her letting me know what's going on. Oh, Jim? Yeah, there you go. There you go. But anyway, let's just pray for them. And Miss Shirley Townsend as well. Miss Connie Teague. And continue to remember Lucy Godfrey's sister, Bettina. And Diane Ely and her healing for her back surgery, the infection therapy, trips to the doctor she's making to clean that up, get that fixed. Jim Jr. with his recovery, with his leg. Miss Dawn, and of course Miss Dawn Daly, said she's still recovering from her fall. She hasn't been able to come downstairs in a while, so let's just remember her. And Miss Claudia and her health and her breathing, her lungs. Miss Connie Norton, my grandmother and her back. Don and Carla Rich, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, Emily McCrickard, Joyce Manning, James Tolan Brown, Kevin Brook, Jamie Carden, Krista Rich, surgery on 4/22 this month on the 22nd. And continue to remember my brother, if you would. And he should be here at church on Sunday. Sunday morning and Sunday night. He's gonna stay with us for a little while. And he's working on some things, going in a new direction in life. And so we're going to have some good brother time we hadn't had in years. But he'll be here Sunday morning and Sunday night. And so just keep on remembering him, if you would. Miss Nancy, what about your niece, Allison?
She's still at Chevron.
Is she? Okay. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yes, absolutely. Anybody else have a prayer request? We'll open up the floor. A prayer request, a praise, something you just want to mention or share tonight?
Sure.
Yeah, Kevin Strana. Yeah. April 23rd. Okay.
Knee
surgery. Okay. All right. Let's remember Ms. Dawn Capistrano. Anybody else? All right. Well, it looks like we're all called up at this point. Of course, we're moving through springtime once again, and we are now in the month of April. So remember all the activities that we normally do each month. Pick up a bulletin and be in tune with that. And we'll let you know when our first outreach will be. All right? Okay. Well, all that would, meet us in the altar. We'll have a time of prayer together, and then Brother Jeff will have a song for us. Brother Jeff. We want to be in the book of Psalms tonight, a familiar psalm. Psalm 37 is where our heart is directed tonight. And I want to mention some things out of this psalm. I have preached out of this psalm, taught out of this psalm for a number of years. But the truth of it still rings true even tonight. And I appreciate the relevance of God's Word. It's always relevant. And let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I'm going to summarize some things out of Psalm 37, and then we'll read verse 1 through 7. Dear Lord, we come tonight in no other name but Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for truth of your word. Lord, I'm thankful that from cover to cover, it's true. We can build our lives upon your word as a foundation. Lord, help us tonight to hide your word in our heart, to read it, to hide it, to heed it. And Father, I pray that you would just speak to us through these simple words we're going to mention tonight. And I pray that it'll be a blessing and a help to all those that are here and those that may be watching on Facebook and listening online. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Psalm 37, before we read, I want to say that David is the author of this psalm, as he is many psalms. He is an older man now. Verse 25 says this, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Can anybody in here say that God has been faithful down through your years of walking with Jesus? Amen. I believe we all could. We all could confidently say that God has been good. God has been faithful. And so David is an older man. He is matured, no doubt, in his life, in his faith. David is writing down some words of wisdom, things that he has heard or things that he has learned in his lifetime. He uses the chapter talking about the wicked versus the righteous. If you notice in verse number 16, he mentions a little bit of that. He says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. And the more you read in this chapter, you'll see that he does mention the righteous and the wicked a whole lot. Because that's the way it was in his day. But also that's the way it is in our day. There's the righteous, there's the wicked. And David even deals with a little bit of anger in this chapter. At least he talks about it, or he writes about it. In verse number 1 he says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And am I the only one tonight who gets a little impatient with the direction the world is going, with the wicked, the unrighteous? It just seems like they're having their day, and sure enough, they may be having their day. But I like what verse number 2 says in light of what I just said. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. You know, I'm not wanting the wicked to die a miserable death and go to hell. I'm not wanting that. I'm wanting them to trust in Jesus, get saved, and go to heaven when they die. But it's just the lawlessness out there. It's the wickedness. It's the unrighteousness. And we, the people of God, we try to serve the Lord and we try to do what's right, and it just seems like we do all the suffering. But nonetheless, David, you can tell through his lifetime he has dealt with this subject. He has been angry. He has learned how to look at it. That's why he says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Don't get hot. Don't blaze with fire. All right. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. David, in this chapter, he also tries to encourage the godly, the righteous, the believer, by speaking of the future place of the wicked, speaking of their prosperity, and speaking of our days in the future. Verse number 10, the Bible says, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." That sounds amazing, doesn't it? Delighting ourselves in the abundance of peace. I do this because I'm looking at peace falling down like the rain just from the throne of God and the Lord and His character just clothing us with peace. What a blessing day that will be. A blessed day that will be. Verse number 28, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints." Praise the Lord for that. "They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever." And so David, he encourages us concerning the wicked and their prosperity and our future. David also gives us some instruction as we experience similar situations in life concerning the wicked and how they seem to be flourishing and how we seem to be suffering. David does give us five words of wisdom, verse number 1 down through verse number 7. And I want to say tonight that these words are great words that we should always remember. They're good anytime, and they're good any day. So tonight, the title of the lesson is just five words to live by. Five words to live by. Notice if you would again, let's go ahead and read verse number 1 down through verse number 7 to get the full context. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good." Sounds like an old song we sing, isn't it? Doesn't it? "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." So that's reading Psalm 37, verse number 1 down through verse number 7. Again, five words to live by. The first word is the word trust, verse 3. Trust in the Lord. The word trust here, it means to put confidence in. It means to have faith in. To place your faith in the total reliability of another. And so how reliable is Jesus tonight? Well, we just said a moment ago, He's been faithful down through the years. And so why should we doubt Him now? Why should we not trust Him at this point? I mean, look, the Lord could return at any moment. The Bible says it's imminent. He's going to come. It may be tonight. It may be tomorrow. He's going to come. He's going to finish the job. We've trusted Him thus far. So why not continue to trust Him until He comes for us? To put confidence in, to place faith in the total reliability of another. Not long ago, I heard someone talk about that there's a difference between trust and faith. And I said it before, and I like to say it again, that faith has to do with the future. And trust has to do with the past. And so we can trust Him now because He's been faithful in the past. And yet we exercise faith for believing Him to do great things in the future. I thought that was amazing when I heard that. The difference between trust and faith, faith has to do with the future, and then trust has to do with the past. And so he says to trust. Now, if the Lord has been faithful in the past, and if we're living in a world that is corrupt, if we're living in a world where there's wickedness and seemingly they're succeeding or flourishing, the lost and the dying are, and we are suffering and we are barely getting by, so to speak, let us not get angry at that. All right? Easier preached than lived. Let us not get impatient with God to come through when you need a breakthrough. Let us just be patient. Let us trust Him. Place our trust and faith in the total reliability of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible tells us here, trust in the Lord and do good. And so the task is to trust and obey. Is to keep on trusting, keep on obeying, keep on doing what's right. He says at the remainder part of that verse, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So trusting and obeying will bring the promises of God. Trusting and obeying, the Lord will provide for us when we trust and obey. So shalt thou dwell in the land, the Bible says, and verily thou shalt be fed. And so that's the word trust. Now there's a second word, and it's found in verse number 4, the very next verse, and it's the word delight. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And so we all know that there is a great misinterpretation of this verse. A lot of people look at this verse and would say, well, the Bible says, delight myself in the Lord, and if I do that, God will give me the desires of my heart. So I'm going to go to church on Sunday, and I expect something to happen this week, this coming up week, because I went to church on Sunday. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to delight in Jesus. And I've always wanted that Mustang, and so I'm sure He'll give it to me. That's misinterpretation of the Scriptures here, okay? So the word delight, and I'm a word guy. I love words. The word delight here, it means to satisfy thyself. I think it's funny that David, being the writer here, also in Psalm 23, verse 1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so I believe that's what he's talking about here. He is talking about delighting yourself, satisfying yourself in Jesus, contenting yourself with Him, knowing that He can take care of you every step of the way. And when we do that, He has a way of birthing desires in our heart. When our will becomes His will, and His will becomes the main driving force in our life, then the two become one, and we'll find ourselves praying over the things that God wants us to have. It's really an amazing thing. And so He says, delight. I don't turn there, but I like what Job 23, verse 16 says. It says, for God maketh my heart soft. God maketh my heart soft. I think sometimes, not every time, but sometimes in life at least, that we feel like we're not getting a prayer through, or God's not hearing us. I know sometimes He is in the process of making our heart softer to receive what He wants us to have, to get on the same page as He's on, so that we can pray the right kind of things. But Job did say, for God maketh my heart soft, And God is in the heart softening business. And so we can take a stand back and we can look at this and say that God wants us to be pliable in His hand. He wants us to be soft in His hand. And what's the word picture there? The word picture is of a potter molding and shaping clay, right? Pliable in the hand, soft in the hand. So we are the clay and He's the potter, and He wants us to just give ourselves to Him and surrender and allow Him to do what He wants to do in our life. Now, we are letting Him do what He wants to do in our life, but wait a minute. His hand is kind of heavy sometimes. His hand is kind of harsh sometimes, it seems like. God, you know about my dilemma. Why aren't you doing anything? It seems like being in the Lord's hand sometimes, it's a difficult place to be. Well, it is. It is. It is when He is molding us and shaping us to be that kind of particular vessel that He wants to for us to be, so He can fill us up and use us to pour out on others. And so He molds and He shapes and He gets rid of all those impurities that shouldn't be there. And finally He sees the finished product. And what does He do? He puts it in the kiln. Is that what it's called? K-I-L-N. I have the hardest time with that one. The kiln. Okay. And it takes its position. And there's the finished product after the fire is applied. And it is that vessel that it wants, that the potter wants it to be. And so all of that is wrapped up in that word delight. Delight. Satisfy thyself. Content thyself. Be pliable. Be capable of being shaped or led or directed in the hands of the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And so what we're seeing here is basically a surrender to Jesus, a surrender to Him. The idea is to surrender to Him, and in return He will direct us. His desires, again, as I said a moment ago, will be our desires. I like what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, in verse number 2, I've said it before, and I really love it. It really helps me, the word picture there. Be ye transformed. That word transformed is metamorphosis, basically. And it's the stages of the larvae to the caterpillar to the cocoon to the butterfly. You know, you've heard it. You know about it. That larvae goes to a caterpillar. The caterpillar goes to a cocoon, and it's dark in there. And it's trying to get out. It can't get out. But there's something in the DNA of that caterpillar that's telling it, one day you're going to fly. So keep trying. Keep pressing. Keep going. And eventually one day it penetrates through and it has its wings and it's able to fly. That's the kind of word that we're talking about in Romans 12, 2. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so the Lord has a way of transforming our desires when we delight ourselves in Him. And what a blessing that is tonight to know that. So there's the word delight. And we talked about the word trust. What about this word, verse number 5? That is the word commit. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. He shall bring it to pass. Commit. That's a dirty word, isn't it? The word commit. The word commit here, it means to roll. It's committing your pathway to Him. It's committing your steps to Him. It's committing your direction to Him. Whatever's on your pathway, in your pathway that you're dealing with, David is telling us from experience to just to roll it over on Jesus. to roll it over on Him. Whatever trial, whatever dilemma, whatever hardship that you might be experiencing mentally, physically, and in many other ways and facets, He says, commit your way unto Him. You can't figure something out? Commit it to Him. Roll it on Him. Trying to tie up some loose ends that aren't making sense, from the littlest thing to the greatest thing, most troubling thing, roll it on to Him. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. I remember a story that I heard a long time ago. It was about a missionary, and of course he and his wife were in Africa, and they were in a tent. And I mean, it was a safari scene that you see on National Geographic. Brother Jeff knows what I'm talking about. We like those kind of shows, don't we? But they were sleeping in that tent, and there was a little mosquito all night, just, you know, buzzing around, and he was swatting at that mosquito, and it just, he, you know, all night long that mosquito was buzzing and landing on his nose and bothering him. Didn't get any sleep at all, none whatsoever. Woke up in the morning, stepped out of the tent, and there was a lion right there in front of him. And so the man says, "Oh, dear God, would you please, please move this lion out of my path? Please, Lord, please move this lion out of my path." He looked up, and the lion was gone. And so basically, he would trust lions with the Lord, but not no little mosquito with the Lord. Let us trust God with the big things, but let us trust God also with those little pesky things. Amen? The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And so whatever's in your pathway tonight, whatever you're dealing with, we are to commit that thing. We are to roll it over on the Lord. We are to commit the lions in our path and the mosquitoes in our bedroom. We are to commit all of those things over to Jesus. I gave this illustration last time I taught this. I look back, and I think it was a couple of years ago now. But I like the illustration of going bowling. Used to go bowling a lot. I like to go now. It's a good thing to do. It's fun. But you guard the bowling ball, and then you throw the bowling ball, and you roll that bowling ball. I remember my grandmother back in her bus driving days. They would have a bus driver bowling league, bus driver bowling night. My grandma, she had the fancy glove, and she had the fancy bowling balls and shoes. And I was just a little boy, and I'd sit up back there and watch her. And, I mean, she'd run out there, and she'd throw that bowling ball, and spinning, and pins would blow up. So inspiring. But could we use that one more time for this illustration? I mean, seriously, if you have to wake up in the morning and grab whatever it is up here that is buzzing around, grab it like a bowling ball and say, "Lord, I give it to you." You know, it might do you some good. It does me good doing those kind of illustrations out loud and in front of me visually. Just like a bowling ball, just roll it on down the lane. Give it to the Lord. Allow Him to deal with it. The McCameys have a song called "Roll Your Burden Upon the Lord." I love that song, and it's so true. Just to roll that burden on the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him." All your care. All means all. And, of course, there's a message in that, and I preached on that before, the word "all" in several places of the Bible. But your small cares, your big cares, the little things we think that are insignificant, we wrestle with. "Lord, I don't need your help. I'll take care of this." No, He wants us to cast all our cares upon Him. And in Psalm 55, verse 22, it says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee." You know, I was looking at that verse today, and the thought occurred to me, it doesn't say we're not going to feel the weight of a burden. It doesn't say we're not going to feel pain of a burden. It just said to cast thy burden upon the Lord. He'll sustain us. And so I believe that the Lord, He can sustain us mentally. He can sustain us emotionally. He can sustain us physically. And He uses different routes to do that. But truly tonight, if we cast our burden upon the Lord, no matter how heavy it may be, no matter how long we may be carrying it, no matter how many times we have to cast it, let us cast it one more time, our burden upon the Lord. He will sustain us. Let me mention number 4. Verse number 7. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. I said a moment ago that sometimes this process of waiting is harsh. This process of resting is harsh. I mean, there's times where I lay down in front of the TV to watch the ball game, Brother Ceylon, but I'm not seeing it, and I'm looking right at it. Some of the hardest things to do should be the easiest things to do, and rest being one of them. But he says rest in the Lord. The word rest here means to cease from all efforts. It means to stop. It means to stop, to cease from all efforts. Of course, it's easier preached than lived, but it's what we must do when we're looking at this one over here who's prospering in his way, and there's a need you have. I think about there in the Gospels where Jesus was making his way to touch, was it Jairus' daughter? And but yet the woman with the issue of blood, and they were en route to his place, and there was this time of stopping, you know. And imagine how he felt. Imagine how Jairus had felt. His daughter had died. Imagine that. So sometimes we feel like the Lord is caught up over here, and we want him to be working over here, and there's just this elapsed time of stress and anxiety and fear. And it's this call to rest. It's this call to just stop and cease from all efforts. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I remember Elijah, he looked for God in the wind and he couldn't find him there. He looked for him in the lightning, couldn't find him there. He looked for him in the earthquake, couldn't find him there. But it was the still small voice where he heard the Lord's voice. And so resting in Jesus, stopping, ceasing from all efforts is what we're trying to get at tonight. If we trust God with salvation, let us trust Him with our struggles. Pray, give it to God, and rest. See what happens. Let me mention one more. We're going to be done a couple minutes early, or a little bit early. You know, for the longest time when I would teach this, I'd go 1 through 4, delight, commit, or trust, delight, commit, rest. But there is a fifth one here, and it does go hand in hand with resting, but I wanted to mention it because it's a little different in its definition. Rest means to cease from all efforts, to stop. Rest in the Lord. But the word wait here, it means to twist or whirl. It means to writhe in pain. And I've done this before, but I will show it again tonight. To twist or whirl. It's like grabbing a cloth and twisting it. That old dish rag in the sink. What do? You just... A lot of times, that's what waiting on God feels like, don't it? It just feels like we are just being twisted. We're writhing in pain. Writhing in pain. He says, wait patiently for Him. How are you to wait in pain? How are you to rest in pain? Well, in the context of these verses, this chapter, we rest in pain by knowing what He's done in the past and knowing that I was once young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed seen begging bread. And we have faith in Him. Although it may be painful, although we may not understand it, we continue to trust, we continue to delight, we continue to commit and rest and wait. And, you know, there is a type of peace, even in the midst of pain. What does he say over there in Philippians? Philippians chapter number 4, I believe it is. He says, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's why I pray that when I pray most of the time, because it's a good reminder to be thankful when I'm asking. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so that's how we continue on when we have questions. That's how we continue on when we're restless and when we don't understand. We do it by simply trusting and obeying, believing, ceasing from all efforts, and knowing that the Lord has the answer. It's just a matter of time in His own time. So there's the word wait. So tonight we have 5 words to live by. And these words are good every day. Every day these words are good. Trust, delight, commit, rest, and wait. And again, David is trying to encourage the writer through his experience of being a young man up until the age he's at now, whatever age that might be, where he says he was once young and now I'm old. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for the word this evening. Help us, Lord, to totally just relax our efforts and focus on you. And to know, Lord, that you're carrying us, you're leading us, you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. Lord, we don't understand a lot of things. We are trying to walk by faith and do what's right. And God, we know ultimately that you got us. But I just pray tonight for the soul that's here that may be struggling mentally or even in body, physically, that you would just give them a fresh sense of your presence. Give them some peace of mind, Lord, and direct their paths is my prayer. We love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. We pray for all these on the prayer list, every single life, every person, every situation. We pray for this coming up Lord's Day, Lord, that you would save the lost and bless the saved, God. Give us give us a message, Lord, that is hot in our hearts to share with your people. Oh, God, how we need your touch to deliver your word. And I thank you, Lord, for all those that are here tonight. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. Keep us safe until we come back on Sunday. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right. Well, anything else to mention tonight? Well, thank you for coming. Everybody be safe and good Lord willing, we will see you Sunday morning. You're dismissed.